إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. Today inshallah the topic is protecting our eyes, ears and hearts. We talked yesterday about protecting our amal. Today's topic is protecting the eyes, ears and heart. See, the issue of this is to Rasulullah in one hadith, he said, the eyes are the arrows. What you see enters your heart. And therefore, it is very, very important for us to guard our eyes. There is a famous story about Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi was one of those people among the Salaf who had a phenomenal memory. He used to say that when I read a book, I cover one side of the one page, because if I see it, it imprints my mind. It interferes with my reading. If I just look at it, it imprints in my mind. It interferes with my reading. Imam Shafi, when he first came to Imam Malik, rahmatullahi, he was the student of Imam Malik. So when he first came, he was a young boy. And Imam Malik had a routine where he would give dars of hadith from Asr to Maghrib, sitting outside in the sahan of the masjid. And then in Masjid Nabawi, and then after Maghrib they would sit inside. So when Imam Malik when he started the dars, he saw this young boy, he came and he sat right in front of him. And all through the dars, and Asr to Maghrib in that part of the world is a long time, all through the dars this boy was doodling in the sand with a finger. Imam Malik got very irritated, but he didn't say anything. These people were if you look at the way people taught and so on, people expected seriousness from the students. If you're coming to study, you study. You don't fiddle around and so on. So anyhow, after Maghrib, when Imam Malik was getting ready for the second session of the dars, this boy came up to him and introduced himself, and he said, "I have come to be your student." Imam Malik said, "I'm sorry, I'm not interested in having you as a student, you can go away." So the boy started crying. He said, why are you rejecting me like this? I just came. And what did I do?" He said, "I noticed that you were sitting and you were playing while my dars was going on, and you were fiddling with the, doodling in the sand." So this young boy, he said to him, he said, "Yeah, Imam, I was not playing." He said, "I was memorizing your dars." Imam Malik thought to himself, this kid, not only is he playing games, but he now wants to give me, some excuse. He's memorizing my dars. He said, "All right, so what did I say?" And this boy, who was later to become Imam Shafi'i, he started with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and he completely narrated the entire dars of Imam Malik from beginning to end. So Imam Malik hugged him, and he accepted him as his student. And Imam Shafi'i was one of the very few people, Allah alam how many they were, but very, very few, who Imam Malik gave the ijazah to make fatwa in his own lifetime. This Shafi'i, rahmatullahi alayhi, obviously he was Hafiz Quran already when he came. One day he came to Imam Malik and he said, "I have forgotten the Quran. The Quran has left me." So Imam Malik said, "What do you mean forgotten? How can you forget the Quran?" He said, "I have forgotten the Quran. I cannot remember now." So Imam Malik said, "You have seen something which you should not have seen." Ajeeb, you see the standards of people. He said, "You have seen something that you should not have seen. So go and think about that." And he said, "Make tawbah, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you back his kalam." I don't know if it's a great mercy of Allah that he does not apply the same standard to us. I don't know whether we would even remember the kalima, forget about the Quran. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala applied that standard to us. So Imam Shafi went back home and he reflected and he realized and he recalled that he was walking in the bazaar of Medina and there was a lady who was getting down from a vehicle. And as she was getting down, she extended her leg and Imam al-Shafi saw the ankle, maybe the calf or something, because she was extending it. The lady was in full hijab and so on, but, and for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the kalam, he removed his kalam from his heart. He made tawbah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it back to him. The eyes are the arrows of the heart. He was one of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name was Salaba ibn Abdul Rahman, radiyallahu anhu. He was about maybe 15 years old. This young boy, he used to run errands for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very fond of him. He used to do some work, whatever he was told to do. One day, he was passing by a house and there was a breeze and the door of the house was open, and because of the breeze, the curtain which was there, the curtain shifted, and Salaba radiallahu anhu, he saw a woman, she was bathing. It's a glimpse, he didn't stand there and stare or anything. But he saw this. Now that affected him to such an extent that he said to himself that I have been destroyed. How could I have seen this? So he started weeping and so on, and then he left Medina and he disappeared. Now Rasulullah ﷺ didn't see him for 2-3 days. He asked people, where is this boy? They said, we don't know where he is. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then sent people to search for him. And Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, and by now 3-4 days had passed, maybe 5 days had passed, Allah alam. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu went searching for him, and they went outside of Medina and they went for a distance and they saw a shepherd grazing some sheep on a hillside. So they went to him and they were asking people, have you seen this boy? So they asked the shepherd, have you seen this boy? The shepherd said, there is some kid who is living in that cave on top there. And once a day he comes down, I give him some milk from my sheep. He drinks the milk and he goes back. And something is wrong with him because he is crying the whole time. He is weeping the whole time. So Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu went there and they found Salaba radiallahu anhu. And he was weeping. They said, what happened to you? Where are you? He said, no, I have committed a great sin. I am Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Has Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent you to bring me and arrest me and bring me? Because maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah to say I am a munafiq. So they said, he has not sent to arrest you or anything like this. He is worried about you. He is calling you. Please come. And they took him. He refused to come. They took him and they brought him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By now, he was reduced to a skeleton. He was completely wasting away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as soon as he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, has Allah revealed an ayah to say that I am a munafiq? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nothing of this sort. Who told you are a munafiq? You are nothing. But by then he couldn't even stand. So Rasulullah, he lay down and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his head in his own lap. He said, Ya Rasulullah, remove my head from your lap. I am not fit for this. He said, I am not fit for this. Remove my head. Put me on the ground. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do that. Then he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, I feel as if there are ants crawling all over my body. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is death. He said, this is death. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then reminded him about the kalima. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then reminded him about the kalima, and Salaba radiallahu anhu recited the kalima. And he died, passed away. In that grief, Ajib, sometimes when I read these stories and I don't know. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then took him after he prayed Salatul Janazah for him, and he's taking him to the Qabristan. And the Sahaba saw Rasulullah walking on tiptoes, on his toes. So they said to him, Ya Rasulullah, why are you walking like this? He said, there are so many malaika, they're crowding me. says, no place for me to put my foot properly down. There are so many angels Allah has sent to take part in the janaz of this man. They're all around me, they're crowding me. Ajib, right? Sometimes I tell you, we are talking about fairy tales or something. Allah Alam. These were real people. Today there is an entire industry, one of the most wealthy and one of the most flourishing industries is the porn industry, pornography. And I was reading some statistics and they say that in America, an American schoolboy sees at least 5 new porn movies every week. And let us not feel very safe, because the only reason we don't know how many porn movies our children are seeing here is because we have no clue. We don't keep tabs. They keep tabs because they want to know how many they are selling. Our kids have access to all the same resources, the same internet. They all have iPads and iPods and I this and I that. And we have no clue. I can tell you seriously, you will be surprised if you actually find out what kind of things that your children are seeing or what they are hearing or what they are listening to. You will be very surprised. The world is a changed place. And then we wonder why the help of Allah does not come when we make dua. Because our eyes see haram and our ears listen to haram. How many of our children, I'm not even saying, you know, we know music is haram. Forget about all these people who make all kind of statements. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said is right and khalas. There is no doubt about this. It is haram, it is haram, it is haram. But I'm just saying that even children who are listening to music, how many of them are listening also to the Quran? I'm not saying one should mix the two, but I'm just saying, are they listening to the Quran? So it's very, very important to see halal, to listen to halal, because both of these things affect the heart. One wrong thing you see and it destroys your salah. It destroys your salah. One wrong tune you hear, it destroys your salah. When you are trying to pray, you are trying to concentrate, some tune is going on in your mind. When you are trying to concentrate, some pictures are coming into your mind. Subhanallah, Ajib. I tell you, it's the mercy and mercy and mercy and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He does not hold us accountable for our thoughts, and He does not hold us accountable for our desires, and He does not hold us accountable, inshallah, for all these pictures in our heart. If that happened, what would we do, Allah? Telling you seriously, forget about remembering the Quran. We will not even remember the kalima. May Allah protect us. I don't know how we will recite the kalima when we are dying. Because our mind is completely, our hearts are filled with filth. Some we see deliberately, some we see accidentally. It is there everywhere. You open the newspaper, it is full of porn. You want to watch sports, it is full of porn. I mean, cricket and football used to be, you know, reasonably safe. Now they've got those monkeys dancing there, cheerleaders. And that also has gone down the drain. Tennis, women's tennis is porn. I mean, straightforward. There is no two ways about it. The way the cameras are positioned and so on, they are interested in the match or the ball or the anything else. They are interested in other things. You look at the billboards, you are seeing porn. Somebody advertising for biscuits is doing it on the basis of half-naked woman. Somebody advertising for ice cream is doing it on the basis of half-naked women. Somebody has put it into the minds of our sisters. May Allah protect them. Subhanallah, Ajib. These women, they are our sisters, whoever they are, you know, not only the Muslims. But somebody has convinced them that freedom means to display your body. Somebody has convinced them that being free from the oppression of men is to expose their bodies. I mean, whenever I speak, I ask them, I say, tell me, if you expose your body, who gets pleasure out of it? A man or a woman? Today, even that is difficult to say, but I'm just saying that it is the majority. So have you freed yourself from the oppression of men, or is this a con job that you have been convinced by men to give them even more pleasure by exposing yourself? How is it freedom from? If you really want to be free from the oppression of men, as you like to call it, then cover yourself from head to toe. Let the man, you know, let him suffer. I mean, let him look at you looking like a tent or whatever. They make all these comments. They say, when a woman wears a hijab and so on, they say, you know, she looks like a ninja. You need a kick in your teeth. La halwa la quwwata illa billah. So let her look like a ninja. Let her look like a tent. At least that is not giving any pleasure to the man. So if you really want to free yourself from the oppression of men, use your brains. Think. There's a huge, huge, huge industry. And they catch them young. They catch them young. There are teen magazines. The magazine, the minute the girl opens her eyes, there are magazines which tell her what she should wear, how she should wear, what should look like. In summer, what she should do. In winter, what she should do. How can you get a boyfriend? How can you keep a boyfriend? You got prom nights, you got this, you got that. And again, as I said, let's not feel comfortable and safe that we don't live in Europe or we don't live in America. This culture today is universal. You don't have to live in America, you don't have to live in Europe. No matter where you are living, that culture finds you. That culture is universal. It's universal. Maybe your daughter is not going to a prom dance, but that's only temporary, believe me. Time will come for that also. But she's seeing that, she has the same desires in her heart, she's reading the same magazines, she's going to the same websites. And track if you want, track and see. I'm not exaggerating, this is what we have seen. That's why I tell you, SubhanAllah, I make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I don't have children of my own. The great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At least Allah has freed me from personal anxiety about this. But of course, alhamdulillah, all so many children or so many friends and so on, so that anxiety is still there with regard to others. But at least I don't have my own personal anxiety to worry about. Eyes and ears. The songs, just listen to the lyrics. You will be, I'm telling you really seriously, everything. Parents must seriously stop running and, you know, trying to earn money all day. Sit and listen to what your children are listening to. Because what they do will either bring you benefit in your grave or it will bring you harm in your grave. Because they are your responsibility. You are supposed to bring them up. Listen to what they are listening to. You will be amazed the kind of lyrics. Rap. What is rap? What is rap? Have you ever listened to a rap song? Have you ever heard the lyrics? La hawla quwwata illa billah. Seriously, seriously, seriously. Go listen to that. You won't sleep for a week. That is what your kids are listening to. That is what they are listening to. They are the target audience. They are the target audience. Biggest best-selling, absolute blockbuster gadget of Apple is the iPod. Not the iPad, the iPod. What is the iPod? The iPod enables you to download and listen to any kind of music you want, anytime, any place. 24/7, you got that music with you. They have made it so easy. They have made it so easy. Shaitan has made it so easy to access Shaitan. You can access Shaitan 24/7. Absolutely no problem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Nabi after Nabi after Nabi. But we are not interested in accessing Allah. Seriously, seriously, let us make the effort to protect our eyes, to protect our ears. We spoke about protecting our tongue earlier, so I won't repeat that, but to protect these things. Because these are the things. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْحَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the tongue will be sealed. And these jawarih, these faculties and these limbs of ours and these eyes and ears, they will speak. And they will say what we made them do. These are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have been given into our control for a short period of time. Today the eye does what you tell it to do, because the eye does even what the eye does not want to do. But it does it because Allah has given that into our power. But on the day of judgment, the eye will complain and they will say, Allah, He made me look at haram. Allahumma afir, Allahumma afir, Allahumma afir. Seriously, let us reflect. I don't know how much time we have left. Yesterday we went to see some land for the SBA. Used to be owned by a man who died in his 50s. Or less than 50 maybe. He's got two small daughters. 2 or 3 days before that, we heard about the death of another brother, galloping cancer, again in his 40s. Somebody was telling me there's a friend of mine who runs a charity called Helping Hand Foundation. They're doing some wonderful work, alhamdulillah. And they give money to people who are sick. And they maintain statistics of, you know, what kind of illnesses have come and demographics of the patients and so on. And he was telling me the largest demographic group of people who are getting cancer today is a group between the age of 15 and 30. Can you believe this? 15 and 30 is the largest demographic group of cancer patients here in Hyderabad. Whatever be the reasons, but I'm just saying that life is short and we don't know when ours will end. And that is why let us wake up before we are woken up, and let us correct ourselves, let us change ourselves, let us look at the mahal, at the environment in the home. Let us monitor what we see, what our children see, what we listen to, what they listen to. And this is not a question of being hard and harsh on them or beating them or throwing away all their iPads and iPods. No. Because even if you throw it away today, they have access to it somewhere, somehow. So this, by your throwing it doesn't serve any purpose. You have to put that desire to please Allah. You have to put that fear of offending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that fear of doing the wrong thing into their heart. That is the key and that is the challenge. It's not a question of gadgets. That is a challenge. And as I said, you and I have a personal stake in this, because if we don't make that effort, then the amal of that child are part of your record. Please understand this very clearly. If that child does good, it will come into you, it will come to you in your grave. And if that child does evil and you didn't make the effort to correct that child, then that evil will be the fire in your qabr. May Allah protect us from this. If you made the effort and after that the child goes astray, that's not your responsibility. That's a different matter. You did your best, alhamdulillah. But if you were too busy doing whatever you were doing, I don't know how people have all this time. Father is in the office somewhere, mother is in some kitty party. They must analyze. They must analyze. Linguistics is a science in itself. You know, they must ask, why do people give certain names to certain things? So mother is in some kitty party, and then in the evening when both come home, father and mother go to the club, and the children are care of who? Care of the servants, care of the television, care of internet. Am I exaggerating? This is what is happening today. This is what is happening today across the board. May Allah protect us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes and ears, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ourselves and to save us from these false desires that we have become part of, and to enable us to learn lessons from the history of our Salaf, and to enable us to live lives which are pleasing to Him, so that when the time comes for us to go to Him, we have at least some excuse to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.